I feel like going side to side too. I don't think I have the talent. You know, it's always a joy to thank the church for your support to our young people. They have been there. They have been serving together with us. And I thank you for your prayers for them, for your support. We hope that they'll continue to grow in the Lord and be like us one day when you and I are no longer here because the Lord took us away to be with Him. And that will be the time when they will be leaders of the church. And some of them are starting to be leaders of the church. So we pray that they will do well, not only in school, not only at home, not only in the church, but wherever they go. But we cannot do that without the blessing of the Lord. If we don't work together, it's not going to happen. Before I would go to the introduction of the sermon, I'd like to just acknowledge Brother Hadi also for bringing his family. I think the mommy and the beautiful sister is here. Yeah. It's not the sister's first time, I remember, but it is a blessing to see them this morning. I hope that we are a blessing to you as well. Now, if you don't mind to turn back to your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 9, we shall see that beginning at verse 35 in this portion of Scripture, moving on to the very last passage in chapter 10, as well as you may include chapters 11 and 12 of the same book of the Gospel of Matthew, we will see that it records the second discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ as far as His wonderful teachings that He had shared not only to His disciples but as well as to those who were around. The first and foremost discourse of the Lord had taken place in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which we normally address as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the main focus in our text is that it talks about missions. Jesus Christ continues on to share the good news. And at the same time, He exemplified the task and the ministry that His disciples will do. Consequently, this particular exhortation is not exclusive to those 12 disciples or to those 70 or to those 120 and the rest of those who come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ during that point in time, but it moves forward all the way to what is taking place now. And we are part of that program. We are called to be involved in missions. We are called to be involved in personal evangelism at the same time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word that you have entrusted to us to learn from you. We understand that you alone can help us to grasp not only the beauty of your word, but the power of it. That once it is exposed, no one can be neutral about it. But our prayer is that it's not only for our learning. Our prayer is that we will be taking a step of faith for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him we ask. Amen. Now in your bulletin, take a look at the first point. It is also verse 35 of our text, which reads, "Then Jesus Christ went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all diseases and sicknesses." Among other things, this passage of Scripture sounds like the Great Commission already in action. Jesus Christ were going all cities and villages, doing healing and teaching and at the same time preaching. If we are to take closely where it actually are these cities and are these villages, well, the Synoptic Gospel, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these villages and cities were located in Galilee. You see, the big part of Jesus Christ's ministry had taken place in Galilee. Two-thirds of his ministry had taken place in that part of Israel. In fact, he called his disciples in the same neighborhood, and 11 out of the 12 disciples lived in Galilee, with the exception of Judas, who is from Kiriath. That's why he is called Judas the Iscariot. And Kiriath is part of Judah. So the rest are from there. Now, I'd like to invite you by going to Matthew chapter 4. Keep your finger to Matthew chapter 9, but let's go to chapter 4 of the same book. Now, we see here on verse 23. It reads, Jesus went throughout Galilee. Here we go. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now we see the same scenario. This means that Jesus Christ was doing the same ministry since going around teaching in the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing diseases. You see, teaching in the synagogue shows Jesus Christ's deep concern for the people, because at that point in time, the people have poor knowledge of God and His purposes. That was the case. They had the chance to have them. But you see, the problem was the religious leaders and teachers have failed to teach them. In fact, they have led them astray. Now, in addition to this, the revelation of God had not taken place until Luke chapter 1 verse 5. When God started revealing His plan, He first talked to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptizer, through an angel. But before that, it had been 400 years going all the way back to the last prophet or the book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi chapter 4. So it had been 400 years with no clear revelation from God, although there was the Word of God in their midst. So this was a happy occasion. Now we see the importance of the Word of God in our lives. Now, can you imagine that you, as you claim to be the people of the book, you will not, and I don't tell this to you to do, imagine if you missed in studying the Word of God for 4 months. I am sure you will feel it. I am sure your neighbor and your siblings and your loved ones and your spouses will also know it. You will not behave in the same manner as you are now. And one of the greatest teachings that the Lord Jesus Christ have ever told is the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, or 5 to 7. A great, great sermon. And next to that, in my personal viewpoint, the greatest other teachings and claims of the Lord Jesus Christ took place in the book of John, where He expounded the seven great I Ams. He said, I am the great shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the door of the sheep or the gate. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I particularly pick this portion or these teachings not simply because we are students of God's Word, but may I also exhort those who are teaching, those who are preaching the Word of God, that when you share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even in your teachings, keep it simple and focused and centered in Christ alone. Why? Because this Bible is all about the Christ. Now, our text tells us that Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. We see that all the way back in Matthew chapter 4, just by using the same book. Now, you see, the gospel of the kingdom of God covers the whole picture. From salvation, from life after being saved or being a Christian, and then at the future, when then we would finally meet Christ, and also to live with Christ, and we will see that Christ is the King, or the future kingdom of God. Now, in addition to this three-pronged ministry that he did in Galilee, is the ministry in healing. Now, healing is not only for physical, it was also social, and most of all, it was spiritual in nature. Now, what is the major point of this healing? The point is that these miracles and these teachings are affirmations that Jesus Christ is truly God, and as he claims, are all true. And number two, on verse 36, please. It reads, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The truth of the matter is that wherever Jesus Christ would go, a great crowd would always gather. And in our text, it reads that when he saw the big crowd, he had compassion on them. Now, the word compassion in our text carries the message of God's deep mercy, as it's always been described, not only in the New Testament, but a lot of times in the Old Testament. For example, during the time of Moses, in the book of Numbers. The same thing with Prophet Ezekiel. They have the same imagery, that the people of God is like sheep that has no shepherd. And the same imagery is used in the same text that you are using today. On top of the sad condition is that our text says that they were also weary and that they were also scattered. Now, these two words stress the idea of being harassed, someone who is hopeless, and someone who is helpless. In fact, if you're going to open, if you're using the New International Version, that is how it is rendered. They were scattered, they were helpless, they were hopeless. Now, under the circumstances, Jesus Christ was moved with compassion to the deepest level, or in the modern lingo, compassion to the max. And this is not the only time that had taken place in the life of Jesus Christ's ministry. In Matthew alone, the book of Matthew alone, we see that in chapter 14, 15, chapter 18, and chapter 20, when Jesus Christ really expressed his compassion to the crowd over and over again, especially when he sees people that were desperate. Remember the story of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years? And this story is kind of unusual, somewhat special. It is the story when Jesus Christ extended his compassion to Jairus, the synagogue ruler. So on his way to Jairus' house, he met this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. The same text in Matthew chapter 9. She was desperate. She had spent all of her money for medication and doctors, but no one could heal her. She was so sick and tired of her situation. You can feel the emotion. You can feel the drama. Nonetheless, by faith, she sneaks behind the Lord Jesus Christ and touches the garment or the cloak. I'm sure she was scared. Why do you think she was scared? Because we have to understand that bleeding in that kind of predicament, it is unclean. It is treated to be unclean during that portion of time. So if you were unclean, no one should touch you and you should not touch nobody. That was the case. And to a very good extent, if you are that kind of in that kind of situation, you are some kind of an outcast by the community. Like a leper. That was the case. But our story tells us that Jesus Christ turned around. He saw her. He comforted her by saying, "Take heart, my daughter. Your faith has healed you." What kind of a compassionate Lord he was. He was not bothered by this woman, even though this woman came as unfit, unclean, and uninvited. Jesus Christ saw her as a desperate, needy, and lost person. The religious leaders at that point in time were indifferent. They couldn't care less. They have failed to teach. They have failed to lead the people. They have failed to give them protection. Like sheep that has no shepherd. They were scattered, they were afraid, they were weary. They were wandering aimlessly like a sheep. You see, sheep are not like dogs and cats. I'm not sure if you are aware about this. But you see, at least I have experienced this in the Philippines. Maybe the same is true in Canada and the dogs that are breed in Canada. You see, in the Philippines, when you leave behind your dogs or your cats 10 miles away, even 15 miles away, next thing you know, they are back in your house. True? That is very true. I have not experienced the dog here in Canada, but that is the dog that I know of. But the sheep are always need someone who would lead them. You lead them somewhere else, they're dead. They have no clue what to do and where to go. That is why Jesus Christ gave his deepest compassion, because this is how he sees with his people. He came to lead them to God. He came to draw them to God. He came to give his life so that they may experience the love of God. It was God's divine plan that he gave the privilege to his disciples. And that includes you and me. You and I are called to tell, to show, and to draw people to Christ. We can never be able to convert anyone. That is not our job. Our job is to share and to tell, and to show them that there is this love of God. The interesting truth is that the situation then is like the same situation now. Majority of the people today are lost. But the good news is that they are ready for the harvest. All 7.4 billion people on the planet Earth today, more than half of that, have no clue who Jesus Christ is. That is why on verse 37 and 38, it tells us, Jesus Christ says to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, Jesus Christ changed the imagery here. He uses a different figure of speech to bring out the powerful message to his disciple. the previous verses, verses 35 and 36, when Jesus Christ used the sheep, he's trying to illustrate to his listeners the truth of the matter that these people need God. Now, on verses 37 and 38, the illustration that Jesus Christ wanted to point out is that God requires you and me as participants to his plan. That you and I are called to be active contributor to the plan of God as far as harvesting is concerned. The good news is that the harvest is always ripe. Sadly, the workers are few. Someone has said, and I agree, that there have never been a place and time such as during in the last 20 years that there were a big flock of people coming from the Middle East knowing and making decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is true even at the history of First Filipino Baptist Church. As far as I know, the first 20 years of First Filipino Baptist Church, we had no membership that are part in that portion of the planet Earth. But in the last 20 years, we have seen people coming from Persia, people coming from Israel, and they have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. And they got baptized right here behind me. And that is the case today. The field is ripe and plentiful of harvest. But seemingly, the laborers are getting fewer. The problem is not the lack of prospects. The problem is the shortage of laborers. Jesus Christ says, do you want laborers? Let me ask you too. The same question that the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want laborers? Parang hindi yata. You know, see, that is the problem. If we don't want laborers, the Lord of the harvest will not send laborers. That's what it says on verse 38, I think. It says, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers so that there will be more harvest. The disciples were commanded by Jesus Christ to pray. And this is the main problem of the many churches today, that they are not doing well in the area of prayer. Until the church will grow more in the area of prayer, there would be no great harvest. I know of a group of missionaries. They were ready for missions. They are days away until they would fly to missions. They were all set. Majority of the things are prepared, with only one thing that is kind of missing. They hardly attend. I didn't say they don't. But they hardly attend the prayer meeting. That was the problem. I think if you and I are serious about joining the missionary endeavor or the plan of God, we need to keep on praying personally and corporately. Don't you think? Oh, it's getting better. It's getting warmer. Just like the weather. You see, brethren and friends, prayer is on top of the list in the agenda as far as missions is concerned. It is not the last. It's the top. The only thing that I've learned when I study church history is this. As far as the history of the church, all of the revivals that had taken place since the very beginning in Acts chapter 2 all the way today, revival and missions, if you're going to look at it the only one thing that matters the most is prayer. They say that in missions, 90% is prayer. You know when the disciples waited until the day of Pentecost? Until the birth of the very first Baptist church in Jerusalem. I'm only joking. It's not a Baptist church. It was a Jerusalem church. They have spent 10 days or 2 weeks in prayer. You see that in chapter 1 of the book of Acts. They have spent days in prayer. And after they have received the Spirit, what have they done? They continue on in praying together, beginning at Acts chapter 2. And moving forward, that's why the missionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ grew what? Rapidly. In Acts chapter 2, there's 3,000 saved. And I would like to encourage everyone, including myself, that we become more intentional in our participation in the area of prayer. If we want the First Filipino Baptist Church to advance, I think, providing that if you have the time, I know that some of you are you have work, your work is when we pray, but it doesn't mean that you cannot join us in some manner, in some way. You can do it during the day. And if you like, you know, you live so far away, you can hold prayer meeting in your neighborhood, in your location. If there are like 3 families, 5 families, you live in the same area, you cannot go to the church, especially in winter time. Pray together. So that more people will be praying as opposed to we do nothing. It's better than nothing, as they say. You need to participate all the time, especially in prayer. The young people in our church and those who are young in faith will be encouraged and will do likewise. As they say, monkey see, monkey do. I am blessed to submit to you without partiality that there are actually young people from our church who regularly attend our prayer meeting. Amen to that? Amen. That's for sure. There are 52 weeks in a year. I hope that at least 2 I will see you. That's not much. If you could do more than 2, that's even better. But how about we do greater? Until then, the command of the Lord Jesus Christ is for us to see what He saw, for us to feel what He felt, for us to do what He did. Then, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So that the Lord of the harvest will give us fruits and great yield. Be prepared and be willing and be ready. When you share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, keep it simple, centered on Christ. Tell them exactly what He did to you. You don't need 101 Bible verses. In fact, if you use 101, people may get confused. So many. In addition to this, someone has said, and I completely agree, that mission finds its motives in the very heart of God. And its strength is in the prayers and obedience of you and me. So let's go together. Let's pray together. Let's harvest together. Let's rescue the perishing together. Shall we? Let's pray. Father, thank you for challenging us again. The truth about that the harvest is truly plentiful, but the harvesters, the laborers, are few. Our prayer is that you will use all of us here to participate in one way or the other, whatever we can do, so that we can make a difference, not only to our immediate community, but to the lost world. Thank you that you have given us the privilege to be carriers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us also to continue to grow in the area of prayer, of individual and as well as together as a community of believers. In Jesus' name, amen.